It's Tuesday, and a little later in the hour, we will take your calls on our regular Tuesday segment, Ask the Doctors. So if you want to think ahead about questions that you have for our panel of doctors this week, the number to call in is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. That's coming a little later in the hour. First, I want you to imagine needing the National Guard to come help at your job. In the throes of a staggering Omicron spread, that is the case at Emerson Hospital in Concord, where a handful of Guard members have been there since December. They are not the only ones. Just last week, Governor Charlie Baker mobilized an additional 500 Guard members to help strapped hospitals across the state. So what is it like in this nearly 200-bed full-service hospital in Concord? Well, to find out, Mike Marino joins us. Mike is a registered nurse and emergency preparedness manager at Emerson. Mike, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So, Mike, how bad is it, the staffing shortages, the number of patients in your hospital right now?
Sure. Well, to give you an idea, just kind of a quick snapshot of Emerson Hospital, like you mentioned, around a 200-bed facility. We have about 30 COVID-positive patients right now in the hospital, you know, amongst mainly in our med-surg units and our critical care unit. And that number, which you mentioned, had gone up slightly after the and was rising after the holiday, has luckily steadily leveled out, and we're hopeful that it won't continue to rise, and we'll be making a downward back trend. But our ED volume is high; it's continued to be high.
ED is your emergency department?
Yes, ma'am. So the emergency department volume continues to be high. And over at Emerson, uncharacteristically, I know other hospitals have this issue, but uncharacteristically at Emerson, we have a high number of behavioral health patients that are now coming in awaiting for beds in our ED, in our emergency department.
And is that psychiatric patients, mental health for behavioral
correct.
Health?
Correct, yes. So behavioral health patients of all sorts of you know, disease processes, but they require an admission bed in a psychiatric unit. So, we're ranging from adults to also the pediatric population. So,
and
there is
waits.
A staggering, yes, there's a staggering, number of beds that have been down just due to COVID in our psychiatric units, just because of the special precautions that they require. So that's caused, you know, a shortage of beds throughout the states, which caused, you know, backups in our emergency departments.
So when you say staggering number, in your sphere of influence, is that 5 or 6 beds down, or is it, you know, 50% of the beds down?
Sure. I would say, you know, at one point during the surge, we were down, you know, roughly 100-150 beds across
wow.
the state, which is huge, you know, through the state of Massachusetts. And for abundance of different reasons, could be COVID blocked beds, staffing issues. So that does have a trickle down effect to the community hospitals.
Mike, who does Emerson serve?
So Emerson Hospital is located in Concord, Massachusetts, and we serve the surrounding towns of, you know, Acton, Stowe, Maynard. We really do serve a diverse community, as we kind of sit out in an island, I like to say, kind of off Route 2. So for a lot of communities, 20 to 30 communities, we're their first option for care.
And tell us, Mike, if you don't mind, without, you know, I understand privacy concerns, but is there
sure.
a person that you've seen in your work there over the last week or two who really sticks with you as the challenging experience that Omicron is for patients and that staffing shortages right now are for patients in the hospital?
Sure. I think that's a great question. It's kind of a two-part question that sticks out in my mind. First, I'll stay with the staffing question. It's very highly in contrast from the last surge that we experienced. The first surge that we had, you know, in our first experience with COVID in healthcare, you know, we didn't have a staffing shortage. It was kind of in its infancy. We were learning about it. You know, the world shut down, so to speak. And, you know, staffing was in abundance in terms of we had PCP offices and surgeries and everything closed down, and we kind of all jumped into emergency mode waiting for surges to come, and that's what we did. As we've gotten more and more, the world right now, you know, is open, so to speak, in some fashion. And Omicron has been has kind of showed us that it does, the variants are pretty much sometimes unpredictable. And it went through staff and affected staff through community spread. And now we have a second surge of patients, and I'll speak on kind of that in a bit, but a second surge of patients with this variant, a third surge now, that unlike before, we didn't have a staffing issue. So that's been very difficult to deal with when the hospital environment is, you know, is very unpredictable. You can't predict the amount of patients that are going to come through your emergency department on a daily basis. That would be the best number. I would love to have that and speak to the person that's able to do that. But so the flexibility when you have staff that hospitals usually thrive on and are great, we kind of lose a little bit of that ability when we go down for staffing.
So when you're really tight on staff, you can't respond as the number of patients changes, as more people come in more quickly, and you're down on staff because your staff are getting COVID.
Correct, right? So just like you spoke about, Emerson's one of the big main options for our community and serve for healthcare. And it really does, you know, staffing has a real constraint on the available census and beds that we can do.
So how is the Guard helping? Are you seeing a difference with the National Guard working there, Mike?
Absolutely. I really do. I know the nurses and, you know, our staff are super appreciative of having the National Guard. I work hand in hand with them. I'm their point of contact at the hospital, being the emergency manager. Just to give you a few, you know, ideas for the public out there and your listeners, what they're doing is their main mission is to come into the hospital and provide services that would maybe normally an administrative or non-clinical position that would be held by a clinical person so that we can redeploy them to clinical operations, increasing our patient.
So if a person who could treat patients was instead doing paperwork, for example, then the National Guard person might take over that paperwork so that the person who can treat patients can focus exclusively on treating patients?
Correctly. Correct. Absolutely. I'll give you an example. So we had a clinical staff member. Here's two great examples that was out, unfortunately, with COVID. And, you know, we have a cancer center at Emerson Hospital, and those patients are coming in for treatments, and there's a multiple patient flow that really can get backed up and really have bad implications for our you know, our demographic of cancer patients. So we were able to utilize the National Guard and use them to run medications back and forth because they were so short-staffed at that point, almost down 50% of their work staff. And that National Guard member kept the clinical operations going, providing care to those cancer patients. It was really seamless and it was amazing. You know, very little directions needed, just clear communication. And we really have them at entrances for access control. They're playing a huge role right now in our laboratory services, as you can imagine, right? The request for testing and the need for testing among all sorts of populations has skyrocketed. So they've been able to keep up where staff have not been, you know, where the shortage of staff, they've been able to supply a really high, you know, level of support for us to keep clinical operations going, which the hospital is serving.
Well, that's encouraging, Mike. So my last question for you.
Sure.
You have a background as a first responder. I understand
yes.
that. Is there anything in your experience as a first responder that compares to what you are experiencing now as a nurse during this pandemic?
I would say, you know, it's amazing to be a first responder in terms of in the fire service and seeing, I will tell you, I can see it through the eyes of a first responder when we're continually bringing patients to the emergency department and seeing, you know, these nurses and doctors and care techs and labs just, you know, doing this for 3 years with kind of the ebbs and flows. But I will tell you, it is a difficult. It is difficult, but the staff has been amazing. I think people get into healthcare and working with staff, myself being a nurse, but working with these amazing people is the resiliency in this group of healthcare workers is amazing. You know, I'll give you an idea just in terms of the ability for them to just see the light in anything where just a little bit of information that numbers are trending down gives folks just that in the healthcare setting that much more energy to come on and cross over that hump.
That fatigue threshold, yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, that's what we're dealing with, right? We're dealing with this is the third time around. You know, there's always the unknown, but the positivity amongst healthcare patient, you know, staff, and that's what our job is. Just like first responders, we're here to take care of each other and people.
All right. That is Mike Marino, registered nurse and emergency preparedness manager at Emerson Hospital in Concord. Mike, thank you.
Thank you so much.